Indeed, let's talk. What happens when religious beliefs are in conflict with medical best practice? This is a step down. This is the point on Hard Facts where we start to cool things down. We move away from current affairs. We get a bit more personal. And today, we're talking about situations where people's religious beliefs come into conflict with medical best practice. This weekend, a doctor came on Twitter to talk about watching a child die. They tweeted, quote, "Just watched a child die in the hospital, and the doctors had to stand by and watch because the parents are Jehovah's Witness and forbid blood transfusion. Now he has died. They are crying and rolling on the floor. Why are you crying? Did they not tell you that this would happen?" End quote. It's a really shocking and painful situation. And we've all heard about this situation with Jehovah's Witnesses and blood transfusions. But even other churches have their own issues with medical care. Because the same doctor tweeted another story. Quote, "Last month, a man took his spasming, pale, barely breathing neonate that we had to resuscitate once out of special care baby unit because his pastor said that he should bring the child. Consultant was so mad, told us to write in treatment plan. An adult man is letting another man tell him to discharge against medical advice." End quote. So clearly this is something that happens a lot, and I want to know your views on it. What happens when religious beliefs are in conflict with medical best practice? How do you decide which one should win? We have a very peculiar court case about an incident like this. It's the case of Tega Esabuno. Tega was born in 1997. When he was a month old, he was diagnosed with anemia at Chevron Hospital. He was dying. The doctors said that he needed a blood transfusion. Tega's parents said no, because we are Jehovah's Witnesses. But the doctor refused to take that no. Instead, he went and got an ex parte order allowing him to overrule the parents, so the doctor administered the transfusion and Tega lived. And then Tega's parents sued the hospital. They said that the hospital had breached their agreement with them by performing the transfusion against their will. A high court in Lagos ruled in favor of the hospital, so the parents appealed. They took their appeals all the way to the Supreme Court. And in 2019, when Tega was 22 years old, the Supreme Court confirmed that the hospital did the right thing. So for 22 years, Tega had a front row seat watching his parents argue that the hospital should have allowed him to die. Anytime I think about that case, call they catch me. Cool, catch you, join Lagos. What do you think about these types of situations where a parent's religious beliefs clash with what the doctors need to do to save their child? What do you think about these situations? What do you think should happen in situations like that? Do you think, well, a person's religious belief is their religious belief and, you know, people need to respect what they believe religiously? Or do you think the child's life should be the most important thing in that equation, no matter what? 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We've got WhatsApp as well. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Have you ever been in a situation where your religious belief and medical advice were clashing, especially concerning your children? What did you do? How did you solve it? Call me on 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Hello, thanks for calling us. Hello. All right, sorry about that. Call me back if you can. 99.3. Hello.
Hello, Auntie Fonda.
Good evening. What's your name, ma'am?
Good evening, Good evening. I'm Esther.
Esther, welcome. Talk to me.
In fact, so painful now. My cousin died of the same issue. Even his own father died at Bagada General Hospital. The same issue.
Oh, I'm sorry for your loss.
Up to today, we cannot forget that our cousin. Up to today, we can't forget him.
Tell me what happened.
He was sick.
Okay.
I was taking him, just collapsed. The first week he resumed in his office, he collapsed.
Okay.
I was taken to the hospital. They needed blood transfusion. Then my uncle said that they stand on their belief that he can never receive blood.
Okay.
That was how he died. We lost him. Up to today, we cannot forget that our cousin, the first cousin we had to have in the family, and my own uncle too was sick and was also taken to the hospital. He refused the same blood transfusion and he died.
What do you think should happen there? If you had the same religious belief, would you say, no, give me the blood transfusion, save my life?
I will take it, because some of them are even taking it now. They are taking it in another way. They take one small injection, blood injection like that. They are taking it. Some of their members are taking it now.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. Now, of course, this is not peculiar to Jehovah's Witness, because I also shared the story with you of a child, a baby, an infant that was in the ICU, that a premature baby in the ICU that was pale, that was essentially dying, and the pastor of the father of the baby told the man to bring the baby out of the ICU and bring the baby to him, you know, to the chagrin of the medical practitioners there. So this is not something, it's not unique to situations where there's blood transfusion. It's also situations like that where this child needs medical care or this person needs medical care. But instead of doing what the medical professionals are advising, your religious beliefs are making you do things that could be detrimental to their health. And I wonder what you think about situations like that. 99.3.
Hello, Sandra.
How are you doing, sir? What's your name?
Good evening.
Good evening. Can you hear me? Oh, that's unfortunate. 99.3.
Hello, Sandra.
What's your name, sir?
Yeah, thank you. This is Dave.
Dave, welcome. Good evening.
Yes. Sir Sandra, you see this topic you just brought now?
Yes.
It's making me to go emotional.
Why?
I have somebody in my compound. His name is Chidi. I don't want to mention the name of the church. I don't know if you got them to mention the name of the church.
Yes, please, mention the name of the church.
Yes, Chidi is a member of the Lord's Chosen.
Okay.
We woke up in the morning. I was living up. He's living downstairs.
Okay.
We just discovered that the guy was not responding. At that moment, he was still okay.
Okay.
Then me and the landlord and the rest.
Right.
We now said, okay, let's rush into hospital.
Okay.
A nearby hospital.
Okay.
The church member chose to say no. That if we try, that they will sue us. That their God, the God of their pastor, will raise him up.
Oh.
We say no, this guy is still okay. We will recover him.
Mm.
Sandra, this we didn't listen to also. Before they know, we know what is happening. We now assign one person to follow them.
Okay.
They took him to the church ground.
Okay.
And the man was, they said the man is preaching, that the man cannot attend to him.
Oh,
after
no.
He finished, they kept him under the sun. The man finished message around 4:30.
Oh, no. Oh.
And the guy finally died. After the program, we went to meet them. I said, okay, let man of God pray for him now. They say, no, that the man of God is tired, that we should go to their mortuary and deposit it there.
Hey.
That's how we lost him.
Hey.
That is how we lost. You see, this thing I'm telling you, before God and man, this is what happened in my compound.
Hey.
This is a very good guy that bought some machine for church member, bought the land for one of the area where we live. He's the one that bought the church land and gave to the church. This is foolishness, my sister. Is foolishness. God is the one that gives everybody ability to do whatever the person does, whether it's a doctor or anything, is the God ability. So anyone that cannot say, oh, God can use this process to heal this person and still stand on foolishness, it means the person is wicked. They can, you see, till tomorrow, even my landlord, we're looking for those members, we didn't see them again. The landlord wanted to even sue some of them. For that nonsense behavior. No mind some of them, Sandra. It's foolishness is worrying them.
Foolishness, my brother says. I'm so sorry for your loss. I wish that the story ended on a better note. I wish that the story ended... Oh, my heart is so broken. My heart is so broken. Oh, my gosh. May his soul rest in peace. Oh, my heart is so broken. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Hi. Good evening. Good evening. What's your name, sir?
Louis Tosin, calling from Ikeja.
Tosin, welcome. Talk to me.
In 2019, I almost lost my mom's leg.
Okay.
This, I would say people don't use common sense.
Okay.
What really happened was, it was raining period, so she got her leg twisted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Then the first thing we ought to do was take her to the hospital. But all of my brothers, they said, no, you have to take her to the church. That is Aro, you know, they are Yoruba, they are like Ofa.
Okay.
Ofa Yin, all those stuff. But I told you, my mom had to nurse this thing for good a year before taking her to General Hospital in Kwara State.
Oh.
And now I don't even know. Once in a while she used to feel the pain. I would just like to advise people to use their common sense when things happen. Not everything is religion. You pray, you see someone dying, all they would want to do is pray for the person. God will bring it back. Or God will bring that back. Instead of doing first aid or giving them drugs. I can't resuscitate them.
Right.
So that's my contribution.
Thank you so much for calling. And I'm sorry that this happened to your mom. And I do hope that, she's feeling better. And I do hope that the pain just goes away permanently. If you just tuned in and you're wondering what we're talking about, well, this is the step down. This is the part on Hard Facts where we cool things down and we get a bit personal, right? We move away from current affairs and we get more personal. And today I'm talking about situations where people's religious beliefs come into conflict with medical best practice. I shared a story that a doctor came on Twitter to share about watching a child die. They said that they just watched a child die in the hospital and the doctors had to stand by and watch because the parents are Jehovah's Witness and forbid blood transfusion. Now that the child has died, the parents are now crying and rolling on the floor. Why are you crying? Did they not tell you that this would happen? And when she shared that tweet, people started commenting and telling their own different stories. In fact, that same doctor also now shared a tweet about something that happened to her last month. She said that last month, a father took his child that was shaking, spasming, that a child that was pale, barely breathing, newborn baby. They had to resuscitate that baby once in special care baby unit. The father of the baby took that baby out of the hospital because his pastor said he should bring the child. Doctors in the hospital were so angry, kept begging the man, don't carry your child and go, this child will die. The man refused. And so they now had to write, an adult man is letting another adult man tell him to discharge against medical advice. That's what they wrote on the child's file. And I share that story to show you that it's not something that is common to one religious sect. You understand what I mean? So while we all know the story with Jehovah's Witnesses and blood transfusion, other churches have their own issues, kwa. It's something that happens a lot, and I want to hear your views on it. Because imagine being a 22-year-old man or woman and watching your parents going to court, been going to court for the past 22 years, and what they're arguing in court is that a doctor, a hospital that saved your life as a baby through blood transfusion should have allowed you to die. Real story. Tega Esabuno, born in 1997, when he was 1 month old, he was diagnosed with anemia at Chevron Hospital. He was dying. Doctors said, this guy needs transfusion. His parents said, no, we're Jehovah's Witnesses. Doctors refused to take that no for an answer. They went ahead and saved the child's life after getting an ex parte order, allowing the doctor to overrule the parents. So the doctor administered the transfusion and Tega lived. But then Tega's parents went to court. High Court in Lagos ruled in favor of the hospital. Parents appealed, continued to appeal until they got to Supreme Court. In 2019, Supreme Court gave verdict saying that the doctors did the right thing. Tega was 22 years old, sitting front row, experiencing his parents argue in court that the hospital should have allowed him to die as a baby. It's interesting stuff, but not good interesting, you know what I mean? What do you think about these types of situations where a parent's religious beliefs clash with what the doctors need to do to save their child's life? We've got WhatsApp as well. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Give us a call on 0700-993-993-993. 01465-7190. Have you been in a similar experience yourself where your religious belief was clashing with best medical advice? What did you do? How did you resolve it? Did you let your loved one die? Did you go the way of your religious belief, or did you follow medical advice? 99.3. Sorry about that. Give me a call back if you can. Hi, 99.3. Welcome. Good evening, what's your name, ma'am?
My name is Shola.
Shola, well,
and I'm calling from Munio.
Talk to me, Shola.
Okay, so I'm a lawyer.
Okay.
And one of the things, I remember, I think last year or 2 years ago, there was a case I once read.
Okay.
That even when a child is in need of blood transfusion, you still need to, the doctor can take that decision for the parent.
Right.
Just to save the life of the child.
Right.
So for me, the doctors at the hospitals should have saved the life of that child.
That baby.
And then allow the parents to do their worst.
Abi, save the life of a child, let the parents do their worst.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Shola, thanks so much for calling. 99.3.
Hello, Madam Santa. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, sir. What's your name?
My name is Neil Godwin.
Talk to me.
I've been in similar situations.
Okay, tell me your story.
Okay, my boy, then he was 2 years old.
Okay.
Like a year plus, he was having like jaundice.
Okay.
We took the boy to general hospital with Kajan.
Okay.
And besides where my boy was left, there was other parents also with the same issue with her child.
Okay.
And we ordered the child to donate blood. I quickly went to the blood bank and donated mine.
Okay.
My boy's life was saved. The parent of that child said never. That is against their religious belief.
Oh.
I even offered to donate blood or buy blood to save the child's life.
Right.
The parents said no. It's not about donating, but it's about the transmission. Not transmitting blood to that child.
Right.
Sister Sandra, in my very eyes, that child died. I'm buying my boy today in 50 years.
Oh.
This thing, I don't know where people are having such beliefs from. One thing that my boy will discuss, I remember that time. So I believe the doctors will take vision like that lawyer that I just called and save the child's life and again the parents' wish. Because these things are, as they are so myopic, I belong in my parents, in my dad, I have two other uncles that are witness.
Okay.
So I know their stories. Even in my hometown, a man died because of blood transmission. My uncle.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about. So there should be a law that the lawyer should take the, sorry, the doctor should take the decision as B to save the life.
Save the life of the child, this caller says. Thank you so much for calling. I'm glad that your kid is okay. I'm heartbroken that the other child died, because I'm thinking about this as a mother, you know, myself. And you know, get the religion where are they inside, we fit make this. It's 99.3. Hello.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Good evening, Sandra.
Good evening. How are you doing? What's your name?
I'm fine. My name is Toyosi. I'm from Ikorodu.
Toyosi, tell me what you think.
Okay. My thought about the topic is that it's actually sad and painful, but I want to come to this area. Honestly, why are people not, why are people dying in silence about this issue? Because I do hear a lot of stories about it, but that really happened to me personally.
Yeah.
And this made me remember last year, around December, the mommy was in the hospital, mm-hmm. and she needed a lot of blood.
Okay.
And me being with her and the experience, I feel that there is nothing so important more than life. You understand? Can you hear me?
I can hear
you. So there is nothing that is more important than life. Life is very, very important. And why are people dying in silence? Is it that religion has more power over their life or what? Because me hearing this matter, I feel so sad and pained. It has never happened to me, but in the hospital, like, the doctor was like telling my mom that she needed a lot of blood. And me imagine that, me, for example, now mommy is in this type of religion, and I think that she should not take blood because of she's going on a surgery, or even that means that somebody that they cannot even allow to take blood, that person cannot even do surgery. Am I right or wrong? I'm right. So why are people just being silent? Like, family members should stand up and speak up about this religion or it seems. Because I know that some people, they believe in it, that nothing can happen to them if they serve God or so. But we are human beings, things do happen.
Right.
We break down sometimes. Right. So I feel that we should just all stand up for what is right.
All right. Thank you, Toyosi, for calling. Toyosi thinks that, you know, perhaps the members of the church need to speak up about stuff like this and get the church to rescind it. We've got Mackie Lagos on WhatsApp who says, Sister Sandra, don't be too emotional about the rejection of blood transfusion by anybody for anybody. The decision is not about religion, but about the law of the creator and giver blood to completely abstain from the misuse of blood of any bloody living thing, and blood transfusion isn't the best medical practice. Sandra, people whose religious belief allow to administer blood also die after blood transfusion. The creator and giver of blood, Almighty God, is very clear on the subject matter. Under the Mosaic law, he forbade his chosen nation, the nation of Israel, from eating or administering blood into their body, and that any defaulter was to be put to death. Under the law of God, as transmitted by God's Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts 15:29, we are clearly warned to abstain from administering blood into our body, and in the same verse, to abstain from sexual immorality and from eating animals strangled and things sacrificed to idols. Does it make moral sense to accept to abstain from illicit sexual activities such as adultery, eating things sacrificed to Satan the devil, and on the other hand, accept blood transfusion that the same portion of God's word unambiguously warned against? Apparently, that will be a dual standard, self-deceitful lifestyle. Sandra, whether or not people accept blood transfusion, the stance of the giver of blood is clear. Abstain from blood, which includes ingesting it into our bodies in any way. After all, drinking alcohol through the mouth isn't different from drinking same through the use of a syringe. Okay, so that means people don't even take maybe blood tonic, I guess. Okay, Mackie, what do you think about Mackie's thoughts? I have thoughts. I have counter arguments to Mackie's arguments here on WhatsApp. But I want to hear yours first. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
How are you doing, sir?
Good evening. First of all, that anyway, I would love to hear your argument against the message you just
read. Right.
But what I want to say is that in 2020, I thought about my wife was pregnant, and then by the time we wanted to deliver.
Right.
The baby didn't turn, so they had to do tears.
Oh.
So they did the first one, and now we're now careless. The second baby now came before a year. So he now went to church. They told her that, don't worry. It's a white garment church. So they told her, don't worry, you deliver this one without your without tears or something like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a job then, and then to deliver through the normal time was like 30,000.
Okay.
While the other one was like 400,000 or whatever. And I didn't have a job. Mm-hmm. And I was the one that was signing paper mm-hmm. in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came and he told me that pastor said I would deliver this one, I said, I'm going to go to the doctor. Anything they say is what I would do. Mm-hmm. I went to the doctor. The doctor gave me an allergy and said, a clot. If your clot is going to tear, it's going to tear from the weakest point.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sure, you have had all those things that they are saying in your church, it is not my own. We are going to do this. Wherever I'm going to save the money, we are going to do this work. And then she did. And by today, now, the second child now, more than a year, and they are both doing well. So I think it's, as people have been saying, I think it's foolishness that makes people to go that route, that kind of thing. So that's what I have to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. And I'm glad that you made the wise choice for your wife. 99.3.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, fine. Good evening. This is Destiny.
Destiny, welcome. Talk to me.
Yeah, Sandra, thank you very much for bringing this to our notice. That guy who sent that message,
mm-hmm.
all those Bible passages he quoted are wrong. It has nothing to do with blood transfusion. But the Bible said, the book of Acts he quoted, God told the children of Israel, we are forcing the Gentiles to obey their own law.
Okay.
And that was where God, by the apostle, told the children of Israel that they should not force the Gentiles to do what they were doing.
Okay.
That the only thing that they should do, because they said the Gentile must be circumcised.
Okay.
If you go and read it carefully. And that was the matter they brought to Jerusalem to discuss. And what they told the Jews and the Gentiles, that they should not eat blood. You know, when they kill animals, the blood that they brought out, by the time they cut the neck of cow or whatever, you know what they normally do?
What?
They'll cook it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That was what God said that they should not do.
Mm.
And any animal that struggles, that they should not eat it, and that they should stay from fornication and idol. So
right.
It has nothing to do with those Bible passages he quoted. If anybody is sick, there is nowhere God said that they should not eat that blood, that blood should not be transmitted to the system of that person. So he's quoting something different. I wish their main pastor, because the only church that we've known that practice this, I think is Jehovah's Witness.
Okay.
They are the one that has this problem.
Okay.
So, in fact, God will bless you, bringing all this thing to our notice. And I think people will learn from it and truly see that it is not all those who say they are Christian, they carry Bible, that really do what is written in the Bible. All these are just misleading people. I wish the law who hold that church responsible for the death of that child. I think they will learn from that. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling. I've got a message here. This is a biblical teaching based on these principles. Genesis 9:4, only flesh with its life, its blood you must not eat. To keep abstaining from things sacrificed to idols, from blood. Blood transfusions is not safe and does not guarantee saving of lives. As Jehovah's Witnesses, we value life and opt for bloodless options, which is now gaining medical attention. What I see about Nigerian doctors is that they are used to only blood transfusion as the only way out. Okay. What I will say to this particular message is that while, yes, you know, some people die after blood transfusions, but those people are a very small, and please put that very small in capital, very small minority. The overwhelming majority of people who simply need a blood transfusion will survive if they get one. On the other hand, almost almost every single person who needs a blood transfusion to survive and doesn't get one will die. So transfusion is best practice. Now, if you're quoting the Bible to me, you are basing your decision on religion, not medicine. You believe that your religion is the truth, and I respect that, but hey, so does someone in another religion whose beliefs are completely different. But at the end of the day, it is in conflict with medicine. You get why when snake bites the children of Israel for desert, God tell Moses, say, make he raise that rod. Say, anybody will look that rod, go survive. And you get why that rod, now the symbol of medicine today. If you look at medical doctors, if you look at the emblem on their shirt, now that rod there for that shirt. If you look at most hospitals, now that rod there. The wisdom to save the lives of the children of Israel when they needed medical attention, it came from God. How can you then say that that same wisdom does not translate to getting a blood transfusion when you need a blood transfusion to save your life? 0700-993-993-993. I've got a message here from Victor. Victor says, hello, Sandra. Please tell that guy who sent that message that even Jesus said, here is my blood, drink. So he is quoting Old Testament where God was warning against occultic blood usage. Okay. Dego K from Lekki says, faith is not stupidity. Use your medication while you have faith for a miracle. My dad died from the neglect of not using his BP medication. I can never forget that sad event. He would have been alive now. My friend's mom stopped using her BP meds and used her faith, and the BP condition became worse, and so she was rushed to the hospital. Thank God, through intensive care and use of her medical, she survived. There's a machine called Cell Saver. Intraoperative cell salvage is a device used in surgery. It's a different choice other than getting blood transfusion from someone else. It collects the blood you lose during your surgery, cleans the blood, and returns the blood back to you. With this machine, you don't need someone to do blood transfusion for you, but we don't have this machine in Nigeria, something that the government is supposed to have bought and installed in our general hospitals in Nigeria. Well, that machine makes sense for surgery, right? But there are people who are anemic. When people are chronically anemic, they need a blood transfusion. What do you do then? Because anemia means that you don't have the blood inside your body, so you need external blood. That's for chronic cases. In some cases, you can just eat some things and it'll help you build back the blood volume. But some other cases, you actually need an actual transfusion. Then what? We've got this message here. Efiong Johnson says, Efiong, everybody's just quoting that Acts 15:29 verse for me. Ahmed Bello from Shomolu says, not only that, Madam Sandra, I'm a Muslim and I live among Christians of different churches as neighbors. During Salah celebration, I share food and drinks to my Christian neighbors, but one of them, a Lord chosen member, refused to collect the food from me, that my food is a sacrifice, that he doesn't collect or eat anything sacrificed. That one, eh? We talk about that one during Salah period. That's a different topic for Salah period. Right now, let's focus on medical advice. We've got this message here. You didn't leave your name, but you said, Sandra, surgeons regularly perform complex procedures without the use of blood transfusion. Patients, including children who do not receive transfusion, usually fare well or better than those who do accept blood transfusions. In any case, no one can say for certain that a patient will die because of refusing blood or will live because of accepting it. Research actually shows that some patients will live because of accepting blood transfusion, and some patients will die because of refusing it. The research exists. It's there. I'm not making this up. We've got this one here. From Greenish. Greenish says, thank God my religion does not practice this. There's no spiritual healing in my book, even though we believe in miracles. But God won't do what we can do by ourselves for us. People don't turn God to their houseboy. In Nigeria, I go see people praying to God for him to take food from the plate and put it inside their mouth. Okay. We've got this one here from Anonymous. Anonymous says, my wife is scheduled for a surgical procedure for fallopian tube blockage. A male doctor is the only one available to do it, so let him do it. You can also request that you be scrubbed in so that you're in the room during the surgery. Some hospitals allow that now. We've got this message here. Sandra, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6, God has given us all we need to succeed and explore the earth. These pastors go to the hospital when they're sick, but they tell their members not to go to the hospital. You can equally go to hospital and still pray. That's a message from Fred in Mile 2. Fred says, it's God that gave man wisdom to create science for the benefit of man. We've got Chief Ikukwoma who says, such a situation should be referred to as religious ignorance. All right. We've got this one here from Chris. Chris says, Sandra, like the Chimamanda voice note on your station says, every religious cultural belief is valid to its people. And I don't know why that voice did not come to a conclusion. However, I feel that parents should discuss with the health facility that they are consulting and domiciling their ward's healthcare with on what they can accept or not before signing up, if the hospital's decision to save the life should be paramount. All right, Chris, thanks for your message. We've got this one here from Kayode. Kayode says, Sandra, I really owe you a gratitude for your help with me last year. Oh, you finally got it. Oh, I'm so glad. Kaide says he was billed for surgery on glaucoma. However, I helped him with some material to read on glaucoma. I've had several operations on my site. My finding from the material you gave me helped me out. And I really, really appreciate. Well, I'm glad. I'm really glad you were able to get some help. Honestly, I'm glad it worked out for you. But make sure you still get the eye checked out. There are lots of organizations that offer free screening for your eyes. Some of them even offer surgery. So if you can get surgery done, please get surgery done. Make sure you get your eye screened, at least once a year. For you with glaucoma, you have to have that eye checked more frequently than once a year. We've got someone here who says, this is sheer religious stupidity. No true religion would defy medical treatment. Culprits should be charged to court for murder or attempted murder, depending on the eventual consequences of the cases. All right, let me come back to the phone lines. I've taken enough WhatsApp messages. Hi, how are you? Good evening.
Hello, Auntie Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome.
Yes, my name is Victor. I'm calling for Bariga.
Victor, talk to me.
That man where she talk about that Jehovah Witness is true, because I tell Auntie where they attend Jehovah Witness. When you want to that their Bible, she go make my leg turn, my leg go up and then my head look down. So it's true. If you want to that their Bible, my sister, it's true. Thank you.
All right, Victor. Thank you for calling 99.3. Hello.
Hello, Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. What's your name?
Cole is my name from Bagada.
Welcome. Talk to me.
Now, you gave an illustration of the rod that Moses held.
Right.
Now, you also asked the question when there is a conflict of religious belief and science.
Michael.
This was addressed as far back as the Dark Ages of, Western civilization.
Yeah.
The barbarian priest Aquinas and Albert the Great, both of them Catholic priests, came to the fore to say that the knowledge of nature and revealed knowledge all emanate from the same creator.
That's right.
Revealed knowledge, knowledge of nature, science.
Right.
They all emanate from the same creator. And that was what put paired to all the evils of the Dark Ages of Western civilization.
Right.
Now, when there is such a conflict, the best thing is to look up to science, because God created that knowledge and he has continued to enable it grow. In fact, the findings of the one that talked about evolution and so on,
Charles Darwin,
to make the works of biology again come to the fore.
Yes.
So that tells you that God supports science so much.
Right.
So I take it that all those religious sects that do not support this type of knowledge
right.
are still living in their dark ages.
Ooh.
And such people should not be encouraged at all. For our present situation, mm-hmm. the best thing is for a legislation to come into effect. That once there's such a conflict,
mm-hmm.
the hospitals are protected from doing the right thing.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for calling and sharing your thoughts. I've got 30 seconds. Is 30 seconds enough? I've got 30 seconds. 30 seconds enough for you?
No, 40 seconds.
I've got 30 on the dot.
Chinenwa,
welcome. You've got 30 seconds on the dot.
Yeah, so the person, for me, I don't disagree with people's issues belief.
Okay.
Everybody has their own belief.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
Like somebody now looking for the fruit of the womb, may even direct the person, go to this place, go to Babalawo. The person will not agree
right.
because of his or her belief.
Right.
So the reason why we're discussing this one is that because the person died. What if they are taking that decision and the person survived it? It depends on someone's belief.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. 30 seconds on the dot. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. I'll be back tomorrow at 3.